All right, it's time to start our class, and I hope you are ready to really try to get involved in this and studying about all of these things. One thing, let me mention before I forget it, and that is, especially if your child wants to get some of these dog tags and everything, or if you want to get one, just check with David. We just need to know how to spell your name, first name and last name, and just check with David. And so we're really trying. We tried to use it with the adults when we did this, 11 years ago, and that didn't go over all that good. But there is motivational power. And so if you want to be involved in that, then please let David know about it. All right, let's get started. Let's think about the survey of the old testament. Where in the Bible is the first promise of Jesus coming? Where is that found? I think I went deaf. I couldn't hear anybody. Where is it found? Genesis 3:15. All right. That's where it is. Adam and Eve have sinned, and the Lord said that the seed of woman, Jesus being in a unique way the seed of woman, would bruise the head of that old serpent. And so right from the beginning pages of the book of Genesis, here's what we're trying to do, is survey the Old Testament. What is the story of the Old Testament? It is getting everything ready to come. In fact, in one sentence, the story of the Old Testament is what? Someone is coming. And that's in three words. And in one word, the story of the Old Testament is who? The story of the whole Bible is who? In one word. That's Jesus. And we got to understand that. That's what this class is all about. And whereas before we took nearly three years to cover the Old Testament, we're trying to get through the Old Testament so we can get to the New Testament, but we're not going to rush. We want to emphasize the fact that Jesus is found in the Old Testament. So you go from Adam, you get from Adam over to Noah, and finally you get down to Abraham. And God makes a threefold promise to Abraham. First of all, I will make of you what? A great nation. Hey, we're getting it. I can hear you now. A great nation, all right? What are we going to do? What am I going to do with that nation? Put them where? In a great land, and someday I'm going to send a great Savior. And that's in Genesis 12. It's especially very emphatically stated in Genesis 22 after Abraham offers Isaac. I want you to open up your Bibles, because here's a verse that we have not talked about, as far as I know, in relationship to this, but it sets the tone. Look in the book of Genesis chapter 15. Abraham still doesn't have any children. Here is this servant of God who still does not have any children, and yet God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And so in Genesis chapter 15, he says this to Abram. This is in verse 13. Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And then he says, and afterwards, after they've been there being afflicted for 400 years, after that nation whom they serve, they will come out they will become my great possession. He said, I'm going to bring judgment on all of these, on that very nation that has afflicted them. When does that happen? If you know the story of the Old Testament, you know. Can you imagine being Abraham? I mean, here God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation, still doesn't have any children. He's almost past the age of bearing children when that promise is first made. And for sure, whenever Isaac is born, the Bible said he's past the age of being able to bear a child. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation of you. You could number the stars. You'd count the grains of sands on the seashore. That's how many descendants you have. Whoopee, that sounds great. No, it's not so good. Your descendants, how would you like this promise made about your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and things like this? They're going to go and they're going to spend 400 years down there in a foreign land, and they're going to be afflicted for 400 years. It's great news, but it's not great news whenever you begin thinking about it. But aren't you glad the Jews went down in the land of Egypt, the descendants of Abraham? God makes this promise to Abraham. He makes this promise to Isaac. Threefold promise. Let's see if we get a little bit better this time. I will make of you what? I cannot hear you. Is my hearing aid not working? I'll make of you a what? To be a great Great nation, you got it. I'm hearing you better, okay? I'll put the great nation where? In a great, great, oh, are we doing it great tonight? And someday I will send a great, great Savior. I could even hear you from the back. That's amazing. As loud as everybody was, anytime you ask a question, Eva's going to answer it, even she doesn't know the answer. And that is really, really great. A great nation in a great land. And that's the story of the Bible. And so here's this Old Testament, and it is the story introducing that nation in the book of Genesis, the promise repeated to Isaac. And so you get from Abraham, and you get over to Isaac, and you've still got this. This is what's going to happen. And the Lord begins to lay it out, and the rest of the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible are books that were written to this Jewish nation. It's God's dealing with this nation, so ultimately that the seed of woman could come and bruise the head of that old serpent, the head of Satan himself. God's got a plan in mind. God makes that promise to Abraham, and God makes that promise. Now, if you've got your blue cards and everything, here is where we're headed tonight. We're going to talk about Jacob, and hopefully we'll get well into the life story of Joseph. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, and there's Jacob. Isaac has two sons. I've just mentioned one of them. You remember the other son that he had? Jacob and who? Jacob and Esau. They were twin brothers. And Esau was the older one. And so it was by right he should have had the possession, a property possession, a birthright. You may remember how there was that occasion when Jacob stole the birthright from his brother. He was eating, the New King James says, lentils. Isn't that beans? He's eating a bowl of beans, and Esau comes in, and he's hungry, and he says, "Give me some of your beans." And Jacob said, "I'll give it to you if you'll give me your birthright, the right of birth." That is the greater possession. And Esau sells the birthright. Esau sells the birthright. If you've got your card, that's on card number one. The two sons, the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And there is that question number one. He sold his birthright. Who stole his brother's blessing? Well, that comes later. The blessing was that which the patriarchs, those fathers of old, could evidently by the power of God pronounce a blessing upon their children, which would eventually come about. And so here is the time whenever Isaac, as an old man, there is that time when Isaac is an old man and he wants to bless Jacob because he is the firstborn. And he wants to give this great, great blessing to Jacob. You know that story, do you not? You remember what Rebekah does? This is not just the birthright. It is a divine blessing that is to be pronounced. And Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, connive to fool old man Isaac. He's blind, or he's not blind, but he cannot see all of that good. And so they play a trick on him. And in that trick, the blessing is given to Jacob. Anybody know what happened at the birth of Jacob and Esau? There's an interesting thing that happened. Esau is about ready to be born. And the hand of Jacob grabs a hold of the foot of Esau in the birth process. That's remarkable. He's tripping his brother. And they gave Jacob the name tricker. A supplanter is the King James word that's used. He is a conniving. He is a guy who works and is conniving. And isn't that what he did? The bowl of beans? Isn't that what he did? Isn't that what he did? He and his mother did whenever they took that lamb and made it taste like venison and he got the blessing. He is a trickster, is what he is, and that is the very, very name that he has. Now then, because of all of this, because Jacob has stolen the blessing, Because you see, Esau comes in later and said, I'm ready, Father Isaac, for you to bless me. And he said, I've already blessed you. But he was not. He couldn't see. And he pronounced the blessing on the one child. And so Jacob has to flee away from Esau. Here's the thing you don't know unless you looked at it carefully. How old do you think Jacob and Esau are when this happens? Are they teenagers? It sounds like a teenager. Is that the kind of thing teenagers would do to their big brother? You know, that kind of thing. You understand that? We think of them as being teens. These boys are 60 years of age when this happens. All these little Bible stories we got, and when I heard the story, I thought, man, he really tricked his dad. He's 60 years of age. Esau's been married 20 years. And so Jacob has to flee for his life. And fleeing for his life, he arrives at a place where he saw the ladder that was going up into heaven. That's on card number 3, if you've got the card, the place where Jacob saw a vision. He slept there that night. And guess what God tells Jacob that very night? 60 years of age, running away from the wrath of his brother, God goes in Genesis chapter 28, and God gives a threefold promise to Jacob. Wonder what that threefold promise would be. A great nation. Can you help me with that? I'll make of you a great nation. Put you where? In a great land, and I will send a great Savior. And so God, see, this is the promise of the coming of Jesus. What's the message of the Old Testament? Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. Now, we know they got to get down into Egypt some way because we've got to read that verse back over in Genesis chapter 15. How's all of that going to fall out? But God continues to make this promise. Now then, Jacob arrives over in the land so he can find a wife. Esau had married one of the women who had stolen his faith from God. And so it troubled Rebekah so much that when it was time for Isaac to get married, he said, let's get Isaac out of here. Let's get him so he can find a wife. Get Jacob out of here so he can find a wife. So he goes back to the place where Rebekah, his mom, had come from. And he arrives in that land and he meets Rebekah's brother. That brother's name is Laban. And Laban has two daughters. Remember the two daughters? You remember anything about those two daughters? Do you know their names? Leah and Rachel. He falls in love with Rachel. Why? She's pretty. She is really, really beautiful to behold. And so he makes an arrangement. He makes an arrangement. Laban says, I'm not going to ask you to, you're welcome to stay here. What shall I pay? He said, give me your daughter. I'll work 7 years if you'll give me this woman. You know the story? You know what happens to Trickster? He works for 7 years. And lo and behold, when the time came for the consummation of the marriage, Jacob arrives and goes into the tent of matrimony. And guess what happens? He doesn't know it until the text says, and in the morning. I think that is so amazing. He thinks he's in that tent of matrimony with this beautiful woman. That's what, you know, her name means you, E-W-E. Think of precious little lamb, you know. You know what Leah means? She's not beautiful. It means wild cow. And so here's this little precious little lamb. And what does he get? He gets a cow. And in the morning he wakes up and he said, I've been tricked. And so Laban said, well, in our land, it's not proper for the younger sister to marry before the older sister. So you've married her. Fulfill her week. And then if you'll work for me another 7 years, I will give you Rachel 7 days after you marry Leah. I'll give you Rachel on credit. And so a week after, he wasn't married at all, and within a week, He's got two different wives over there. The trickster has been tricked. What happens in that time is he begins to have children. He has children by Leah first, and then by Rachel's handmaiden, because Rachel was not able to have children. Then whenever Leah saw that Rachel was trying to gain the favor of Jacob by letting him have children by her handmaiden, Leah says, because she had stopped bearing children, Leah said, "Have children by my handmaiden." And then finally God opens the womb and Joseph is born. Joseph is born. Things are about to start happening. But you know how long it took for these 11 children to be born? 14 years. In 14 years, he has 11 children. Well, you'd count the daughter that we knew of. He had 12 children. Can you imagine how many teenagers in your house? What's it like to have one or two teenagers in his house? All of a sudden, he has all of these teenagers. And he really loves one of them better than he does all the rest, because it is the son of beautiful Rachel. And so he gives a coat of many colors. We'll get to Joseph in just a moment. But on card number one, there is that question of the number of Jacob's sons. There are 12 of them. 11 of them are born while he's over there working for Laban. God has blessed him, and he's become really, really prosperous. He now has 11 children, 12 if you count the daughter. He's got his household. Now, instead of leaving after he's worked 14 years there, Laban says, "If you'll work for me, I'll pay you wages in cattle." And so for another 6 years, he works over there for Laban. And so the time comes whenever they are ready to leave. An amazing thing happens, and that is, on his way back to where Esau is, because he's headed back home, he comes to this place where God had made that threefold promise. Remember that threefold promise? You got it yet? Great nation and where? Great land, and I'll make it send what? A great Savior. And so the promise is, and he arrives back at that very same place. And that's the time whenever Jacob wrestles with a stranger that is out there in the night, does not know, and they wrestle until the day's about to break, and neither of them prevails against the other. And so Jacob says to this, obviously a heavenly being, says, "Give me a blessing." And God says, "Jacob, I am going to change your name from trickster, Jacob. I'm going to change your name to Israel." Got it? What is the nation, that great nation, what's it called? It's Israel. And so whenever we begin talking about the children of Israel, all the way through the rest, the Old Testament, children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel, you're really talking about the children of Jacob. And it's important to be able to see all of these things as they begin to fall in place. And so God changes his name from trickster to Israel. See the E-L there? In the Hebrew language, E-L is one way of saying God. And so there are characters in the Bible that end with the words E-L. Ishmael, you hear that? Samuel, Daniel. Jesus on the cross said Eli or Eli, Eli. And then you've got Eli in the Old Testament. You've got Elijah in the Old Testament. You've got Elisha in the Old Testament. That's one of the ways to refer to God. And so God changes his name to Israel. What does that mean? Not trickster. God said, "You want the blessing? I'm going to give you the power, one who has power with God." Now, what transpires is the story of Joseph. On the way back, as they're coming back to the promised land, Jacob has another son. And so on the card you've got there, the number of sons that Jacob had, there's 12, because Benjamin is born. But as Benjamin is being born, Rachel dies. So now he's got the 12 sons. But he favors one of those sons, and he gives to that favorite son the coat of many colors. How do his brothers feel about that? They are envious. The very thing that Joseph, the very thing that you read, they were moved with envy. Why? That's daddy's pet. And so they used that coat to deceive Jacob. The trickster has been tricked by Laban, has been tricked, you know, to get two wives, been tricked and even or tried to trick him in reference to the wages that he paid him. And now it's about to happen again because he's going to be deceived again. Because they're moved with anger against Joseph. Why? Because Joseph has these dreams. And he tells his brothers, let me tell you about the dream that I had. I dreamed the other night that there were 12 sheaves of bundles of wheat had been gathered together. Obviously, in that family, when the number 12 has special note, and all of a sudden Joseph said, and guess what happened in that dream? 11 of those sheaves bowed down and worshiped the sheaf that was mine. Then he said, I had another dream. I dreamed about the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and the sun and the moon and 11 stars did obeisance to me. They were worshiping me. Well, that made them even more angry. So the time came whenever they decided they would kill Joseph. The older brother tried to keep them from killing Joseph and said, let's put him in the pit, intending later to come back and to get him out of the pit. But they took that coat of many colors and they tore it up and they dipped it in the animal's blood and they brought this coat of many colors back to Jacob and said, is this Joseph's coat? It's amazing they didn't say, it looks like he's been eaten by some wild animal out here. Joseph comes back to Jacob, and Jacob immediately says, that's my son, Joe. He's been eaten by a wild beast. That's not what happened. His brothers, instead of killing him, would put him in a pit, and then they sold him to go down into the land of Egypt. Wait a minute. You remember where we started this lesson? They're going to be there for 400 years. It's ready to happen. We are at that point in the Bible whenever the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are in that great land, they don't possess it yet. The Canaanite nations possess it. But the time has come that they're going to go down to the land of Egypt and be there 400 years. And they're headed down toward the land of Egypt at that time. How on earth is all this going to come? It's going to happen to a 17-year-old boy. I think that's one of the questions on the card. How old was Joseph when he was sold down to the land of Egypt? And so his brothers take him and send him as a slave down there into the land of Egypt. It's rather interesting in the verses that you read, Joseph says God was with him. Imagine, young people, being 17 years of age, and your brothers hate you so much they want to kill you. I know you may have wanted to kill, you know. There may have been, you know, some that, like a sister might want to kill a brother or something like that. You know, you understand the kind of thing that I'm talking about. They wanted to kill him. And then they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Didn't even get the full price. No, the going price oftentimes was 30 pieces of silver. At least that's what Jesus was sold for. And so he sold 20 pieces of silver. And those 10 brothers that are out there, Benjamin is too young. He's still back at home. But Joseph at age 17 is going out, and his brothers see him coming. They said, here's the dreamer that's coming. And Joseph finds himself down in the land of Egypt and is bought by an Egyptian. His name is Potiphar. An amazing thing happens to Joseph. That is, he is so handsome that Potiphar's wife falls in love with Joseph. Don't tell me that the Bible's not an interesting book to read. One of the joys of being a missionary is to sit down and tell people like the Indians, especially those in Fiji, the story. They've never heard these stories. You've heard them all your life. You know what's going to happen. You know everything. But if you've never heard the story, all of a sudden here he is down. He has every reason the Bible says it went on for days. It wasn't just a one-time event. But she tried to seduce him for some period of time, but he could not be seduced. And so the time came whenever she grabbed a hold of his garment and he fled out of the house. There are times, young people, when you need to get up and take off running. Parents, let me tell you something about these kids. You need to tell your children that if your children ever get in a situation they are not comfortable, for them to give you a call and say, "Dad or Mom, I need to come home." I told that to my children. I know what's going to happen, but there's going to be situations in your life which there's going to be troubles in your life, and you can call me and just say, I need to call my dad. And hey, Dad, could you come and get me? Or something like that. And I would go, and I said to my children, and I'll never ask you what happened. I trust you and love you enough because you called me and left that situation, and I promise you don't have to tattletale on everybody. And Joseph was in that situation. He couldn't call his parents, but he took off running. And she's got the garment, and she has the garment. And she tells her husband, this evil woman, lies about Joseph and said, he tried to rape me. He tried to molest me. And Joseph is cast into prison, listen to this, for 13 years. How far back do your memory go? You remember anything when you were 4 years of age? Probably not. Maybe five. Remember something when you're about 6 years of age? If Joseph's 17, when he gets down there, he's got 11 years of memory. He's got 11 years of memory of being in Jacob's house. And now he's got 13 years of memory being in prison. It's amazing. But God was with him. Over and over in the midst of all of this, but God was with him, but God was with him. Look, let's just briefly look at some of the cards, questions that are on the card. Many of the questions on the cards are on card number 2. But in reference to the Joseph card, the price paid for Joseph to his brethren, that's on card number 2. Joseph's master in Egypt, Joseph's interpreter of dreams of two individuals down in the land of Egypt. On card number 2, the age of Joseph when he went down into the land of Egypt. And card number 1, the gift that Jacob gave to his favorite son. What's this all about? It's to put in your hands a series of Bible questions that you can use to go back and forth trying to learn the details of this, because God wanted you to find the Bible interesting. And it is. If you don't know these stories, isn't it pretty interesting what's happening to a teenage boy? How on earth is he going to get out? How on earth is he going to get out of the prison? It's a good stopping place, maybe. He's down there in prison. He is about to get the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, to leave that promised land that God had promised to give them and come down into that foreign land. Because if they do not do it, they'll starve. It looks like they'll starve to death. David, you want to review the back of that first card tonight? Where do I need to put the heart? Put the Word of God? Thy Word I've put where? In my heart, that I might not do what? Need to hear that, young people and old people. Put the Word of God in your heart. And so when Potiphar's wife seeks to seduce you, Joseph, even without a Bible, said, I cannot sin against my God. What a noble attitude for a 17-year-old boy who didn't even have the Bible. All he had was the stories that were told to him about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. the very stories we've talked about in this study. And based on that, he said, I've got to live a highly pure moral life. Great, great thing. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know where that's found? Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy commandments, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against. You struggling with sin? Memorize the verse that helps you most in dealing with that sin, either the recognition of it or the power to overcome that weakness that you have. Memorize that verse and hide it, not just in your brain. Write it on your heart. These are the very words of God, and that's what I'm going to live by. That's where we are in this study of the Old Testament, and we'll take up here next week. Joseph is in prison. How on earth is he going to get out? And how are we going to get the children of Israel down into that foreign land? You are dismissed.